Glory to God. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Praise God. Thank you, Rev. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It says this. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor. Title of this message is mouth trouble. A whole lot of people got mouth trouble. Turn to your other neighbor and ask him, neighbor, how big is your mouth? Glory to God. Proverbs said, when the words are many, sin immediately follow. In other words, you can't get around what you say. What you say is what you're going to become. So you got to watch what you're saying. And I'm going to put it this way. It says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I was reading an article, and it was talking about the North American Plains Indians. That they had a remedy for keeping their children's mouth shut. With the infants, when they was babies, they would put their palm of their hand over their mouth, and they will hold their nose, their two nostrils closed together with two fingers until they almost pass out and suffocate. As soon as they let go, you know that child gonna start screaming and hollering and crying again, so they do it all over again. And they kept doing it time and time again till finally that child realized that silence is the best policy. Whole lot of Christians don't know how to be silent. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to talk. But you got to know, and you got to know by the power of God, as God will lead you and guide you along the way. When our children was growing up, I know when mine was growing up, you know, we was waiting on that first word. To see, was he going to say daddy first or mama first? And, you know, they were learning to talk. What it takes a child about a year or two to learn how to really talk. But it takes them a lifetime to undo the unguarded words that they use all their life. Because words hurt. It leaves scars. And you can't undo them, just undo them. But God said, a man that keeps his mouth shut and speak when the Holy Ghost give him utterance, he said, that man is wise. Them children begin to talk. I know mine's talk. Talk, talk, talk. Got to the problem, I wish they didn't know how to talk. I just wouldn't shut up. Let me tell you something. See, the Bible give us some incidents about that tongue. I give you a whole lot about that talking. Solomon knew a whole lot about talkers. If you read about Solomon, he knew a whole lot about talkers. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And to hear all those words going forward in the king's court, I can imagine. Sometimes Solomon probably just said, yes, dear, and walked off, because that's all he could do. But Solomon soon learned the remedy. And the remedy was the wisdom of God. When he prayed to God, he asked for wisdom to guide that nation. He didn't ask him for no trinkets and all that stuff. But because he didn't do that, God gave it to him anyway. Why? Because he kept silent and he asked for the things that he had need of and not the things that he didn't have need of. And by that wisdom And it records it in 1 Kings, I think, the 20th chapter, somewhere over there, where he had to make a decision because there was two women that told a lie. Well, one of them told a lie. One was telling the truth. The one was telling a lie about her baby. They was in the same place. One of the babies died and the other one lived. So this woman baby that died, she came to Solomon and said, listen, now we was in the room. There wasn't nobody else in there but us. So this woman during the night, she smothered her baby and he died. Now she's trying to take mine. So to make a long story short, Solomon said, well, I tell you what. Bring me the child and bring me a sword. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to take this living child, and I'm going to divide him. I'm going to cut him in half with this sword, and I'm going to give you half, and I'm going to give her half. And the woman, child that died, she said, no, my Lord. She said, don't do that. Let the child live and just give the woman her child. See, you got to know when to speak and when not to speak. There's an old saying in the world that silence is golden, not all the time. Because God don't want nobody just stepping on you like you some worm. Glory to God. But God wants you to defend yourself. And the only way you can defend yourself is by the word of God. So you got to hear from God. And God got to speak his word unto your heart. And that word that come forth out of your heart come through that unruly tongue. And that tongue that's unruly, it will speak the words of God. But sometimes that tongue will curse. And sometimes it'll praise God. And sometimes it'll lift him up. And sometimes it'll put him down. Sometimes it'll bless you out, and sometimes it'll be good. That's the workings of the tongue. It's something to go off anytime. But the word of God is the only thing that can tame it. Men go to the far corners of the earth. I was reading that, and they go and get those exotic animals. You know, wild ones, and they train them. And bring them back and use them as pets. And they sell a lot of them to the circus. That's why Barnum and Bailey don't have to go out looking for none, because they got those people out there that are doing that for money. And they bring those animals in and they tame them. But there is another animal, a very elusive one, that man cannot tame. And so far, he have had little or no success. And that's the tongue. James talked about the tongue over there in the 3rd chapter. Well, he talks about the putting bits in the horse's mouth so you'll be able to guide him. The word of God is like bits, glory to God, in that horse's mouth. It wants to guide us and direct us into all truth of the Father and deliver us from our old ways and our old nature and our old thoughts and our old sin. Don't you know when you put your word on God's anointing, children of God, you are putting your mouth on God, and God don't like no ugliness, God don't like no sin, God don't like no evilness, and God will recompense. We got a lot of examples here, and I wrote some of them down. Abraham told a lie. He was a great man of God. But at that time, his tongue lied. He told Abimelech, the king, he said, this is my sister. And then Sarah turned around, and see, they had to rehearse this thing. Abraham told him, said, Sarah, you tell him I'm your brother. So both of them lied. Wasn't going to tell the king any different. We have many words. We can mix them, we can mince them, and we hold on to a whole lot of them to use in a future situation. God came to Abimelech in a dream and said, this woman that you have taken unto yourself, he said, don't touch her. If you touch her, you're a dead man. Abraham wasn't going to say nothing. Abimelech said, told God, he said, well, God, will you kill a whole nation? God don't like sin. He don't care if it's two or three nations. If he have to move the nation out of the way, he'll move the nation out of the way. Now, there's another incident. Achan, he lied about the bounty from the ruins of Ai. Y'all remember in Joshua over there where they went up and God told him, don't bring back the cursed thing. Achan, he going to mix them in with the other stuff. Like it was already there. He lied. Don't you know it cost them the next day to battle and cost him his life? Ananias and Sapphira, they lied, and the moment they lied, they took them out feet first. The Bible says death came up on them suddenly. People take God nonchalantly. God is real. God is all power in heaven and earth. Like Brother Dennis was saying this morning, everybody think they're under grace and ain't nothing going to happen. Let me tell you something. When you put your mouth up on the anointing of God, when you become a big mouth, when you got mouth trouble, glory to God, not only does it affect you, glory to God, your life, but it affects your family. It affects all those around you. Now, it tells you here in the Bible, glory to God, that it affected all of those around them. It killed them and all of those that was around them. Hallelujah. Wonder why you sick sometimes? Because of our mouths. Wonder why our children are run astray sometimes. It might be because of our mouths. Let me give you another one. Jonah. Jonah didn't lie. And remember I said the tongue can praise God 1 minute and lie the next. It can say a good thing 1 minute. And you've been knowing that person all your life, and they can say something bad against you, boy, and make you hate them the rest of your life. It'll take you a lifetime trying to undo that damage, that ungodly word that they had in their mouth that came lashed out against you. Don't you know God is going to hold you accountable for the hurt? But then there are some good folks. When Jonah preached, he turned a whole nation around because he heard from God. Abigail, with her soothing words, she headed off David because David said, I'm going to kill everything that pissing on the wall. I ain't going to leave nothing undone. But see, I read that and she bowed down before David. Because David had done told the men, he said, y'all suit up, sword up, and we gonna ride. And when we come back, everything that pissing on the wall is won't be doing that no more. But she intervened. Why? Because God had her in the right place at the right time. Doing that what she's supposed to do. Don't you know God wanna put his word in us, glory to God, that so we can bear the right fruit? Jesus said, make the tree good so it can bring forth good fruit, or make it bad so it can bring forth bad fruit. Because of Abigail's soothing words unto David, and she bowed down before him, and she began to talk to David and tell him things, glory to God. And David heard that word. Ah, when the right word come forth from God, I don't care what around you, the infidel are here, glory to God. The sinner man are here. The drunk are here, glory to God. If you heed up on this word, God, it'll change lives. It'll change nation. It'll change people's ways. It'll change the anointing in your life, glory to God. Whether it is good, whether it's bad, God will pull down the stronghold by his mighty power and his word, glory to God. And because Abigail said this, David, he turned around and he didn't kill anybody. Hallelujah. Peter and Paul used the tongue to preach the gospel. We got to let God use this unruly member. Let me tell you something about this unruly member. You ever tried this? I tried this today. So I just want to see something. So I opened my mouth just to see what my tongue moved. You know it moved? You can't keep this dude from moving. Amen. It operates from what comes in. You got two antennas, two ears. Thoughts is always coming in there, day in and day out, night in, night out. They're always, even when you're asleep, they're coming in there. Because the old man never sleeps a slumber. Somebody else don't sleep a slumber either. Glory to God, that's God. Hallelujah. And what comes in, it goes to your mind, and it goes there to be analyzed or separated, the good from the bad. That's why Jesus said, let this man that was in Christ Jesus, this mind that was in Christ Jesus, be also in you. Why? Because you're going to need the mind of God to get rid of this stuff before it reaches the other point. The Bible says, out of the heart comes, out of the mouth comes, y'all know that scripture. It comes from the heart, out through the mouth. I'm like Brother Hart, I'll get it right in a minute. What you put in is what's going to come out. What you take in is what you're going to begin to look like. If you don't have the mind of God to separate this stuff, then you ain't nothing but a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass, and you ain't going to do anybody any good. You're going to get yourself killed and everybody else around you. You don't think God ain't killing folks. He got a unique way of doing it. He can just appoint cancer to take you out. All of a sudden you walking along and all of a sudden you have a heart attack. God done appointed it to take you out. God is no joke. He is a living, breathing God. Living on the inside of you and I, trying to teach us his ways. We don't know his ways, but God is steadily and constantly trying to teach us his ways. Like Pastor Gardner was preaching, preaching this morning about going through the wilderness. That's the only way you're going to get a blessing from God. You got to go through. The Bible says we are passing through this world. We're just passing through. We are not part of it. We're going through this old wilderness. Glory to God. However it may last, God is with us always, even until the end of that time. Praise God. Come on and give God some praise. I'm going to close quickly. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 6, Paul said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Seasoned with salt. Long before Abraham's time, there was salt. Long before people discovered cannon that was salt, because salt preserves. I know my grandfather used to kill that hog and take them hams and that shoulder and rub it down with salt, hang it up in that smokehouse. It'll last all winter, won't no worms get in it. It'll last all summer, won't no worms get in it. The only worm got in it was this old wagon tongue. And when it hit that table, I got in it. Amen. So salt preserves. Salt done got a bad name because it came from man. Man done gave it a bad name. Why? Because he used it excessively. You got to have salt. You got to have that sodium and that chloride that makes up that salt in your body. It takes salt to bring out the flavor in the food. Amen. I hate to eat something bland. But man gave it a bad name. He just throw some salt on there and then he eat that and then he said, oh, it ain't salt enough. Why? You done ate up all the salt. You got to mix that salt so that it can get down in that food. You can't see it working, but it's working on the flavor. It's bringing it out. Glory to God. You might not be able to see the word of God or understand it sometimes, but it's working on the inside, bringing you to the outside. Glory to God. It's glory to the outside of your body. It's on the inside, burning up your chaff. It's on the inside, making the heart strong. It's on the inside, renewing the mind. Come on, Moshaka. It's on the inside, giving us a new speech, glory to God. It's on the inside, seasoning us, glory to God, so that we can stand and walk uprightly before God, holy and respectable in his eyesight. Hallelujah. Glory. Jacob told a lie too. Stole his brother's birthright. And then his sons turned around and told another lie. Caused his father grief. But they paid for it. Paul is saying here, he said, let your speech, that means that logos word, as an instrument, use that. See, you're going to need something to fight with. You can't fight with your intellect. God said in Psalm 139, he said, I know the words that, and I'm paraphrasing, I know the words that fall upon your lips. I understand them. I know them even before they fall upon your lips. I know those words. I understand them. I know you're lying down. I know you're getting up. I know your shortcomings. I know your uprising. Glory to God. God know all about the heart. Ah, but man try to hold back. Man try to go his way, glory to God. Just like glory to God in the garden. Ah, that was another big lie told. And I wish they hadn't told that lie, glory to God. But they told it anyway. And God kicked them out of the garden, glory to God. But then God sent, glory to God, the truth alone. And his name is Jesus, glory to God. And he came to show us the way. He came to make the way straight. He came to make it right again, glory to God. He came to show us the way. He came to lift us up. He came to strengthen us. He came to wash us and to cleanse us and to preserve us so that we can be made whole again. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Salt is a cleansing power. I was reading the Hebrew people use it to bathe their babies. And they tell me they are still doing that today. They cleanse you. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, where shall it be salt? In other words, if the salt loses its saltiness, it cannot regain the saltiness. It's just lost. We need God. The more we stand on his word, the stronger we should get. The only way we're going to control this mouth, this tongue, from being such a great, I call it a trap, is that you got to start feeding the word of God. That's why you got to eat every day, the word of God. That's why you got to study to show yourself. That's the eating. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to sit at God's table and quit sitting at that other table all the time. We're not dogs any longer. We don't have to eat the crumbs from the master's table. We can sit at the master's table. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Glory to God. If you need refreshing tonight, a renewing. I don't know what your problems is, but God is present to preserve us and to wash us and to cleanse us. I'm going to ask you to come on down to the altar. Huh? Come on down. You know what? We got to get to that place where we have a strong desire for God's word. God can heal anything. So I'm inviting everybody down here. Because sometimes we try to prioritize God and say, well, he didn't mention what I have need of, so I'm not coming down to the altar. We got to have a strong desire that when we hear the name Jesus, that we'll try to run over each other. I don't know about you, but my antennas go up when I hear Jesus. I'll be out in the marketplace. Somebody mentioned Jesus. I'll turn around, but I'm going to check them out first because they might not be talking about the same Jesus that I know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on and give God some praise. Father.